Welcome to the InfoWars Nightly News. I'm David Knight. It's Monday, November 10th, 2014.
Tonight, lack of transparency is key to fooling stupid Americans. Then, a federal judge rules that the public has a right to know about face scanning cameras. And are vaccines a ploy to train parents? That's next on the InfoWars Nightly News.
Listen to me, you little punk.
You like living like that? Well, you're about to, okay?
Now, yesterday, Sunday, November the 9th, was the 25th anniversary of the fall of the Berlin Wall. There was a lot of celebration in Europe. The BBC reports some 8,000 helium balloons were released in the night sky over Germany's capital. Now, these were balloons that they had set up for about a week. They had them on poles, as you can see here in the picture, and they released them to the crowds, essentially giving people an idea of what it felt like to have that imposing presence, as the Berlin Wall was an imposing presence. I think it's time for us to take a step back and ask, as William Binney has told us time and again here on the InfoWars Nightly News, William Binney, former technical director of the NSA, how much like Berlin, how much like the East German Stasi America's government has become. Think about some of the things that have come to light, because the key was not the fall of the wall. The key was taking down the Stasi. That's the message that we got over and over again over the weekend. Now, of course, with the Stasi, as people have said, they were amazed when they went back and looked at the records. They were amazed at the depth of knowledge that the Stasi had. They said they had files that contained every record of their every movement, and they said it was full of just junk. That's exactly what William Binney has said about our own spying, that there's so much stuff there. They've basically created a much, much larger haystack to try to find the needle. So collecting everything, as he and other whistleblowers at the NSA protested after September 11th, 2001, as they changed their policies to collect everything, not only on every American, but on essentially individuals in every country. The bottom line is that the Stasi operated without limits. They operated without shame, just as our government is doing today. They monitored people so they could suppress any and all political dissidents, just like we see the IRS doing with the Tea Party, just like we see them doing with Dinesh D'Souza. And they worked against anyone who was nonconformist to the party line, as we're starting to see now with the government moving against, say, people who object to performing homosexual marriage because of religious objections. They can't have that kind of nonconformity. Now, NPR did a story this weekend. The man who disobeyed his boss and opened the Berlin Wall. Now, the way they tell it, it's basically one guy who was lieutenant colonel in charge of the main checkpoint coming into the West, a Harold Jaeger. And they said he stood down and allowed people to cross en masse. But even he said it wasn't him. It was the people. He said, I didn't open the wall. The people who stood here, they did it, said the 71-year-old. He said their will was so great that there was no other alternative but to open the border. Exactly. That's what's going to take it down. Reagan stood at the wall and said, Mr. Gorbachev, take down this wall. Reagan didn't take down the wall. Gorbachev didn't take down the wall. It was the people who were sick and tired of a criminal government that was breathing down their throat, that was harassing them at every turn, that was watching their every move. They were the ones who rose up and took it down. He pointed out that as he was growing up, he was thoroughly taken in by the communist propaganda. He said he learned as a communist who served his homeland, does that sound familiar, as a border patrol agent in the much-hated Ministry for State Security, that's what they call the Stasi. He said that he saw the Berlin Wall as a rampart against fascism. See, he saw it as something that was protecting the people rather than something that was jailing them. And that's what we have to be concerned about as we call for a wall across the border. We have to be very careful that even though we have a legitimate reason to control people who come into our country and become citizens, I don't think a wall is the right way to do it. We need to remove the disincentives, the incentives for people to come here. The illegal alien benefits that are drawing people into the country, the amnesty that's drawing the people into the country, but not put up some kind of a wall that is eventually going to become our prison. Now, NPR tries to make this about one guy who stood down, but it was the people who stood up. The BBC got it right. The BBC asked the question, did a prayer meeting really bring down the Berlin Wall and end the Cold War? They point out that ignoring death threats and huge banks of armed police Thousands of people gathered at St. Nicholas Church in the East German city of Leipzig on the 9th of October to pray for peace before this all began. They got a crowd there of 70,000 people. Where this lieutenant colonel was at that checkpoint, there were 10,000 people. And those people wanted their freedom. Part of the freedom that they were looking for was their freedom of movement, which we now see coming under attack in America. We haven't exactly seen it yet. We've seen the foundation for it in controlling our transportation with government-controlled, computer-driven cars. But that's the way this is going to come down, with that and with border controls. We need to understand where this is headed. We need to understand history. We need to understand that these people stood up against it because they were sick and tired of a criminal regime. This is exactly what we saw at the Bundy Ranch. We heard ranchers there saying that they were not going to be taken down by these criminals who had come into their community, these criminal federal agents who had been attacking women, who had been tasering people, who had set up free speech areas. They said, "You're not going to take me down if I'm on a horse. You're going to have to shoot me off." They wanted their freedom enough that they stood up en masse, stood up against armed guards, just as the people in Berlin did. That's what it's going to take to turn this thing down. Now, we see as this is developing in America, look at this article on InfoWars today. Federal judge says the public has a right to know about the FBI's facial recognition database. See, authoritarian regimes like East Germany and the U.S. are always, they're relentless, they're vicious, but look at this story. They are also amazingly incompetent. And that's not a source of comfort. That only makes them even more dangerous because they get false positives. As we look at this article about the database, they point out that a federal judge has ruled that the FBI's futuristic facial recognition database is deserving of scrutiny from open government advocates. In other words, they have standing to sue the FBI to get information about this database because the FBI has not vetted this through the required privacy oversight. They say that they have validated a Freedom of Information Act lawsuit that has been filed by the Electronic Privacy Information Center. That's usually abbreviated as EPIC. EPIC is suing over a 2010 government report that revealed that the FBI's facial recognition technology could fail up to 20% of the time. Now, privacy groups believe the failure rate may be much higher, as a search can be considered successful if the correct suspect is listed within the top 50 candidates. They say the program, a biometric database that includes iris scans and palm prints along with facial recognition, became fully operational this summer despite not undergoing an internal review known as the Privacy Impact Assessment. And they haven't had that review since 2008. They've had plenty of time to do it, but they're not interested. The way the government works is essentially through lies to forward their agenda. We're going to take a look at three ways that the Obama administration has essentially lied and tricked the American people. First one, of course, is Obamacare. And we see that today, one of the architects of Obamacare came out and talked about how they got this passed. Listen to what he had to say.
You had a law which said healthy people are going to pay in. It made explicit that healthy people pay in and sick people get money. It would not have passed. Okay, just like the people, lack of transparency is a huge political advantage. And basically, you know, call it the stupidity of the American voter or whatever. But basically, that was really, really critical to getting the thing to pass. And, you know, it's the second best argument. Look, I wish Mark was right. We can make it all transparent. But I'd rather have this law than not. So it's kind of like his reporter story. You know, yeah, there's things I wish I could change, but I'd rather have this law than not.
That's right. The way they took over America's healthcare, or hope to take it over, is through lies. Through a lack of transparency. That's the way, as we'll see later in the broadcast, they want to take over the internet, and eventually they want to use hidden trade agreements, a lack of transparency in these negotiated trade agreements, and there's bilateral support on this. They want to use that to create trading blocks that are a stepping stone to global governance. But let's look at what he just said here. He said, the bill was written in a tortured way to make sure that the CBO did not score the mandate as taxes. See, when they got it passed, they told everybody, don't worry, it's not a tax, it's a mandate. And then when they got it before the Supreme Court says, it's a tax, it's not a mandate. And of course, you had the Supreme Court Chief Justice Roberts, who had already written a dissenting opinion and all of a sudden changed his mind, did a complete 180, and for the first time, you had a Supreme Court justice write both the dissenting and the majority opinion. So let's repeat. What he said was the bill was written in a tortured way to make sure that they didn't score the mandate as taxes. And then he goes on to say, a lack of transparency is a huge political advantage. In other words, if you can lie to people, if you can cover up what's really going on, that's a big political advantage, isn't it? They said that it was going to be a mandate when they were running it through Congress. And then when it got challenged in the Supreme Court said it was a tax. So they tell you whatever is convenient at the time. They never let anybody see what was in it. Of course, they said they had to pass it to find out what was in it. That is exactly the same strategy we see them pursuing with everything. Look at this article about vaccines. An immunologist admits that babies are only vaccinated to train parents. And we have a quote of them laughing about how they train the parents. Listen to this quote.
It's interesting. I was on the phone with Mark County Public Health last week with one of their vaccine nurses. And she was like, oh, you're talking to us about vaccines? Make sure you tell them they have to do that year shot because the first three don't work. And I was like, yeah, I know.
Remember when we were talking about the NSA and they said they had absolutely no shame and no control? That's what we hear when we hear these medical professionals laughing about the fact that they are injecting babies in the first year of their life with multiple injections, which of course makes them a lot of money and they're enjoying that, but laughing about how totally ineffective it is and how they are training the parents. Now, Paul Joseph Watson points out in this article, a shocking study published in a prestigious medical journal in 2011 found a direct statistical link between higher vaccine doses and infant mortality rates in the developed world. Now, they pointed out that the countries that had the lowest vaccination rate had the highest or the best infant mortality. In other words, the lowest rate of infant mortality. And as the vaccination rates went up, infant mortality also increased with that. So you see that even though these vaccines are not effective in terms of protecting the children, they're not safe. But they lie to us about it. They know that that's there. So just as they lied about healthcare and just as they're lying about the internet control that we see coming up, they're also lying to us about the healthcare of our children, of ourselves, of what they're putting into the vaccines. Now look at what they're doing with the internet. Just as they used lies to take over or try to take over our healthcare, they're now using lies and disinformation to try to take over the internet because, of course, that is the high ground in the information war. Obama wants to turn the internet into a public utility. He says, to put these protections in place, I'm asking the FCC to reclassify internet service under Title II of a law known as the Telecommunications Act. In other words, what protections? Well, this is the protections of net neutrality. The idea that there isn't going to be some special toll road, a fast lane that only the big boys can play in that will eventually shut down everybody else or be used to shut them down. Instead, having the kind of internet that we've always had. Now, the FCC doesn't really care one way or the other whether or not we have net neutrality or whether or not we have a toll road. They simply want to be appointed in control of the internet. And we've seen multiple times in the last year that they're very interested in regulating content. We should understand that, of course, the FCC used to do this with radio called the Fairness Doctrine. And we've seen that they even wanted to extend their survey to looking at print media. Nothing that is under the jurisdiction of the FCC, and neither is the internet. Look at this article from the Wall Street Journal. The FCC net neutrality plan calls for more power. That's exactly what it is. It is a power grab for this bureaucracy. They want to build their empire, and they want to take over control of free speech. Now, this was October the 30th. The Wall Street Journal pointed out that the head of the FCC is laying the groundwork for expanding the agency's authority over broadband service. And this has been going on the entire year. Look at this. Going back to April 23rd of this last year, the FCC, in a shift, backs fast lanes for web traffic. This was the New York Times reporting this. They said the FCC said that it would propose new rules to allow companies like Disney, Google, or Netflix to pay internet service providers like Comcast and Verizon for special faster lanes to send video and other content to their customers. Now, if that's going to happen, if the FCC is going to allow the big boys to get special privileges, what that's really called is regulatory capture. The big communication companies are going to capture the FCC in the same way that Monsanto has captured the FDA. Always happens that way. But they had reversed themselves in April. This is April where they said that they shifted. Where did they shift from? Well, the FCC used to be for net neutrality. they started arguing that they were going to be used to protect everybody against the large corporations. They were sued by Verizon, who was trying to get the fast lane. And then there was a court decision in January. Going back to this article here from the Free Press, January 15th, 2014, the net neutrality court case decoded. They say, what just happened? This is back last January. The U.S. Court of Appeals for D.C. struck down the FCC's open internet order in the case of Verizon versus the FCC. They said internet service providers are now able to block any website or application they want. That means they can decide what you can do and where you can go online. So just like the Obamacare official, the FCC doesn't really care what you buy in terms of whether it's going to be net neutrality or whether it's going to be some kind of a toll road for the internet. They just want control of the internet, just as Obama wanted control of healthcare. And he would sell it as a tax increase or he would sell it as a mandate. Whatever he needed to do, he would do. Any lies to get through his control. And just as we saw earlier, that they would tell parents that they needed to have their children vaccinated, even though they knew it was not effective, even though they didn't care whether or not it was safe, they will lie to get that agenda through. Now, stay with us. Right after the break, we have Leanne McAdoo with a special report, again, about vaccines. Kenyan Catholic bishops are accusing UN organizations of using vaccines to create sterility in their country. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Dr. Group. Today, I'm proud and excited to announce a new product to the InfoWars Life product line. Introducing the first proprietary oxygen-based intestinal cleanser, OxyPowder. Backed by real FDA-approved phase 1, 2, and 3 clinical trials. People are suffering from all kinds of digestive issues these days. All the toxins from the air, the food, the water, everything that you're exposed to on a daily basis ultimately ends up in the gut or affects the gut. My main focus was to come up with a remedy for this, something that's safe and effective that anyone can take on a regular basis to keep their intestinal lining clean. You have over 30 feet of intestinal lining that can be compacted, that can be toxic, that can be full of parasites, fungus, bacteria. What are you doing to keep that clean and flushed out? My recommendation is to clean your intestines at least 2 to 3 times a week to prevent the toxic buildup from going into your bloodstream. You owe it to yourself to take your health into your own hands and start cleansing your body today with OxyPowder. Secure your OxyPowder today at InfoWarsLife.com. That's InfoWarsLife.com.
The globalist social engineers are not just targeting us with propaganda. They are manipulating our genetics. We are being targeted at every level by estrogen mimickers that lower our testosterone and other hormones and natural compounds that the body needs. After consulting top doctors, nutritionists, pharmacists, and others, we have developed what I believe is the ultimate non-GMO organic super male vitality formula sourced from powerful organic herbs and then concentrated for maximum potency. Super Male Vitality was developed to activate your body's own natural processes instead of using synthetic chemicals. Super Male Vitality by InfoWars Life is so powerful that I only take half the recommended dose. For a limited time, we are offering 15% off Super Male Vitality at InfoWarsLife.com to introduce you to this powerful supplement. Visit InfoWarsLife.com today to secure your Super Male Vitality. InfoWarsLife.com.
United Nations organizations are charged with sterilizing millions of girls and women under cover of an anti-tetanus vaccine program sponsored by the Kenyan government. The population control scheme was exposed after the Kenya Catholic Doctors Association sent 6 samples of the tetanus vaccine that was used during the World Health Organization's immunization campaign this year to laboratories in South Africa for testing. According to the doctors, all samples tested positive for the HCG antigen. HCG mimics a natural hormone that's produced by pregnant women. Well, the bishops and doctors warn that injecting women with HCG actually causes them to develop antibodies against it. When they do get pregnant and produce their own version of HCG, it triggers the production of antibodies that cause miscarriages. The doctors said, "This proved right our worst fears, that this World Health Organization campaign is not about eradicating neonatal tetanus, but a well-coordinated, forceful population control mass sterilization exercise using a proven fertility-regulating vaccine." Now that sounds a lot like a conspiracy theory until you read the World Health Organization's own literature. This is a report from August 1992 titled "Fertility-Regulating Vaccines." In it, they discuss the most advanced research on FRVs involves vaccines directed against HCG. As the Kenyan doctors point out, World Health Organization conducted massive vaccination campaigns using the tetanus vaccine that was laced with HCG in Mexico in 1993 and Nicaragua and the Philippines in 94. Just like with this current inoculation program in Kenya, these campaigns targeted women of childbearing age, 14 to 49 years old, and each received a total of 5 injections. A typical tetanus vaccine schedule is just 3 shots. And don't be fooled, this isn't about giving women around the world a choice. The tetanus lace with HCG was given as a fertility-regulating vaccine without disclosing its contraceptive effect to the young girls and mothers. Why would the UN want to suppress the population in developing countries?
The overlords of scientific dictatorship are ruthlessly prosecuting a war on our most defenseless. In December of 1974, the U.S. government made third world population reduction a central national security issue. The operation plan titled National Security Study Memorandum 200 openly stated that populous third world nations posed a threat to the international elite's monopoly of global power. The Kissinger-authored U.S. plan targeted 13 key countries where massive population reduction was called for. Kissinger recommended that IMF and World Bank loans be given on condition that nations initiate aggressive population control programs, such as sterilization. Kissinger also recommended that food be used as a weapon, and that instigating wars was also a helpful tool in reducing population. In 1972, the Nixon White House also implemented a eugenics policy which was directed by George Herbert Walker Bush, then United States Ambassador to the United Nations. Bush advised China on the formulation of their one-child policy and directed the federal government to forcibly sterilize more than 40% of Native American women on reservations.
And following in his eugenicist father's footsteps, Bill Gates donates millions of dollars to research population control programs.
Probably one of these numbers is going to have to get pretty near to zero. That's back from high school algebra. But let's take a look. First, we've got population. The world today has 6.8 billion people. That's headed up to about 9 billion. Now, if we do a really great job on new vaccines, healthcare, reproductive health services, we could lower that by perhaps 10 or 15%.
The Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation is committing $10 billion over the next 10 years to make it the most aggressive decade ever, rolling out new vaccines to poor nations around the world. This idea of population control has been around for decades and probably much longer. It's backed by powerful economic interests to cull the world population of the useless feeders so corporate giants can exploit world resources unimpeded.
In the past decade, we have witnessed unparalleled scientific discoveries in the area of health. But no one has put together a formula that focuses directly on brain health, nerve growth factors, and optimizing your cellular energy at the same time. DNA Force is one of the most expensive formulas to produce. Some of the ingredients in DNA Force are $12,000 a kilogram. We are using the coveted, patented, only American source of PQQ, CoQ10, and more. You want the best that's out there at the lowest price anywhere? Well, we're bringing you a total win-win. the ultimate value, cutting-edge, trailblazing game changer that also supports the InfoWar. We have produced a limited run of DNA Force, and it will take up to 12 weeks to produce more once we sell out. Secure your DNA Force today at InfoWarsLife.com or call toll-free 888-253-3139. DNA Force from InfoWars Life.
Hi, I'm Dr. Edward Groop. Today I'd like to talk about the war on women. You've experienced and heard about the benefits of Supermale Vitality. Now, the new formula has arrived. Introducing the new Super Female Vitality. I have specifically designed this formula to help the body naturally regulate itself without the use of artificial hormones. Key ingredients chosen from the highest quality sources. Each of these ingredients works synergistically with the female body in order to maximize overall vitality. You've heard the reviews and the feedback on how the original Super Male Vitality has revitalized relationships. Now, both the man and the woman can have the revitalization in their own bodies with Super Male Vitality and Super Female Vitality. Secure your Super Female Vitality today from our limited stock at InfoWarsLife.com.
Welcome back. Now, world leaders around the Pacific are meeting in China this week, and it turned into something that looked like it was coming straight out of a Comic-Con convention. Look at these humorous pictures. As RT pointed out, go forth and prosper. APEC leaders in China are donning Star Trek-style jackets. They say the photo shoot, this is an annual photo shoot. Whatever country they're in, they adopt native clothing somewhat. But these outfits look like they're dressed up to be part of the next Star Trek sequel. They say that this year's fashion parade, the traditional Chinese gowns had more of a business logic, a Starship Enterprise Spock feel to them. The leaders seem to have arranged between themselves to play out a covert Comic-Con. If you look at this picture here of the guys standing up, they've even got a couple of them with their hands up. Looks like they're trying to do the live long and prosper. Now, that may be funny, but what they are negotiating there is not funny. What they're negotiating is the trade partnership agreement, the Trans-Pacific Partnership Agreement. And of course, there are multiple trade agreements that are being set up now, creating regional trade blocks, moving from something that's like NAFTA or the European Union into a larger trade group. And that's been the process, the step-by-step process that they've had in mind for a long time. That's a blueprint to move us towards global governance. These trading blocks are actually stepping stones to that agenda. And in this particular meeting, Obama says that the momentum is building on a historic Trans-Pacific trade deal. He says on Monday, he said that he saw momentum building for this trade agreement in Washington. U.S. officials, however, have ruled out a major announcement on the 12-country Trans-Pacific Partnership, but business leaders attending the APEC forum have been looking for signs of progress on TPP, and they're seeing them. Now, the New American points out that it's not just the Democrats who are doing this. The Republicans are interested in this as well. Republican Senate Majority Leader, when the GOP takes over in January, said, "I've got a lot of members who believe that international trade agreements are a winner for America, and the president and I discussed that right before I came over here. I think he's interested in moving forward. Send us trade agreements," we said. "We're anxious to look at them." And the New American points out, as we have talked about, even Senator Rand Paul has voiced his support for the trade agreements, encouraging the president to, quote, prioritize passage of the Trans-Pacific Partnership. And he said this on October the 23rd in New York. Now, what's troubling about this is that this negotiation is being done, first of all, in secret. Just as we have seen at the beginning of the program, the Obama administration officials saying that it was important to them that they eliminated all transparency, because if people really knew what was going on, they would not have signed on to Obamacare. If people really knew what was going on, they would not allow the FCC to assume regulatory control of the internet. And if people really knew what was in this trade agreement, they would not want their leaders to sign on to it. But our elected leaders are not allowed to even see what's part of this trade agreement. The few senators or representatives that have been allowed to see it have had to sign non-disclosure agreements saying that they would not let anyone know what was in the agreement. What's wrong with that? Now, as the New American points out, they say both the TPP, the Trans-Pacific Partnership, and the TTIP are unprecedented regional agreements purported to create millions of new jobs and expand the U.S. economy via greater integration and with the European Union and Asian Pacific nations, but they do it at the expense of American sovereignty. They do it with a fast-track trade agreement. They do it in secrecy. And we have seen some leaks of what's involved there. And, of course, it goes far beyond trade. We should have that open and above board so that everybody could see what's being agreed to in these treaties. But even the trade aspect of it is not being put out there. But there are a lot of things that are being hidden there, just as they hid things in Obamacare. Ways to, again, control the Internet, to enact CISPA that they could not get enacted legislatively. Now, if they're going to take down the United States because they need to have a global governance, and that's what these trade agreements are, it's economic integration into regions, and those regions are then combined into fewer and fewer and larger regions until you have global governance. In order to do that, they have to destroy the economy of the United States. What better way to do that than to destroy the petrodollar? And that's exactly what our policies are doing as we revive the Cold War. That's one of the aspects of it. The BRICS, Brazil, Russia, India, China, and others are coming together to take us off of the petrodollar. RT reports comments from Vladimir Putin saying doing away with the U.S. dollar and switching to the ruble and the yen payments will significantly increase Russia and China's say in energy and financial markets, adding that the first deals are already underway. He goes on to say, payments in rubles and yen are very promising. Switching to such a large-scale work means that the impact of the dollar on the global energy sector will objectively decline. That's right. He's playing chess as our government is playing checkers, except that it's not really that they're incompetent. They want this to happen. That's why they're pushing for these secret trade agreements that have all these different things buried in them, just as we've seen things buried in Obamacare and coming out. Losing the valuation of oil in American dollars is going to have a devastating effect on America. That's when the chickens are going to come home to roost. That is when the American people are going to realize that they've been living above their means for quite some time. Well, that's it for our news tonight. If you're watching this on YouTube, please subscribe to our channel. And please consider subscribing to Prison Planet TV. Your subscription helps to support our operation. It allows you to share it with 11 people, and they can also see all of Alex Jones's documentaries as well as getting the news as it happens each night. Join us again tomorrow at 7 Central, 8 p.m. Eastern.
Celebrate the spirit of freedom and liberty upon which our nation was founded at InfoWarsShop.com. Molon Lave is ancient Greek for come and take it. This popular design combines both classic Greek Spartan imagery with modern M16 assault rifles. Now available in women's tees and proudly made in the USA. Celebrate the spirit of 1776 with the George Washington brass belt buckle or this incredibly sharp looking 1776 hat. Badass. And be sure to check out the new arrivals at InfoWars Life, where you can prepare your body to perform at peak levels with Survival Shield, Nascent Iodine, Super Male Vitality, and Fluoride Shield. And wake up, America. Immune Support Blend is the healthy choice for the gourmet coffee lover. So get incredibly high-quality, freedom-based products and help fund the revolution at InfoWarsShop.com.
You are watching the InfoWars Nightly News, which airs 7 p.m. Central at InfoWarsNews.com. Members can share their passcodes with up to 11 other people, and your support is helping us defend liberty worldwide.